So, sounds like everyone's on mute now, other than me. I feel a bit isolated. Really nice to see you all. Thanks ever so much for inviting me. And even though I'm on Zoom up north, and I'm guessing most of you are down south, some of you actually at Rora, I trust that the Lord will really bless us. And as we look at a passage in the scriptures, we'll be encouraged. It's amazing, isn't it, how the Lord feeds us. And just this simple way of gathering together and just coming to Him expectantly and ready to mix His word with faith. The potential for change in our lives is remarkable. So I trust that we'll have a blessed time this evening. I can see a number of other people joining there. Hi to Walter and Iris, I think, Mark and V. Whoever's Samsung SM, nice to have you too. What I thought was I'd like to play a song, if that's okay. It's just via YouTube. It's an old hymn, and the four young lads, I'd not heard them before, but they're singing this old hymn, and it's I hope you know it. You don't have to sing along, but feel free if you want to. I just wanted to play it at the start, and then we'll pray. Hopefully everyone can see the screen okay.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior.
I hope you could hear that. Beautiful hymn. Really beautiful hymn. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, it's now. And I've been listening to that. Not just I just come across those four young lads. I thought they did quite well. But amazing words stand the test of time, don't they? And it expresses something, hopefully, that's in all of our hearts, that today, this evening, we can say, if ever I loved thee, Lord Jesus, it's now. And I just wanted, before we look at a passage together, just to ask you, and feel free to say, you can, if you're on Zoom, you can pop it into the chat. I don't know if you're familiar with the chat feature, or if you want to unmute and just contribute that way, or if you're at Rora, feel free to unmute there and just say a few thoughts. But I just wanted to pose that very simple question in response to that hymn, because the refrain was, if ever we love thee, oh, Jesus, it's now. And we love him, don't we, this evening? And I just wanted to ask you, why is it that you love the Lord this evening? Why, if I ask you that, why do you love the Lord this evening? Why do you love the Lord now? What would you say? What would be your answer? So feel free to chip in. It doesn't have to be complicated. It just needs to be the honest response of our heart, doesn't it? If ever I loved you, Lord, oh, Jesus, it's now. And it's just that question, what is it that has that flame still burning in our hearts tonight? Feel free to pop it in the chat, or you need to unmute if you're going to say. It can just be a one-liner. Anyone going to interact with me here? What about you folks at Rora? It says someone has enabled closed captioning. I'm not sure what that means. It sounds a bit techy to me. There we go. Rora's unmuted.
I know that I love the Lord. He set me free, given me liberty, eternal life.
Bless the Lord, Malcolm. Yeah. We've been set free. I mean, I know we know these things and we hear them often, but if we just pause and think, we've actually been liberated from bondage, from prison, from death itself. It says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, doesn't it? But now we're made alive, set free. Amazing that, Malcolm. Absolutely. I love him for that too. Anyone else?
I'm not sure that I should be alive anymore. I was taken to hospital with a very, very painful heart attack. I waited 5 hours for the ambulance to arrive. I waited 5 hours outside accident emergency before being taken in. And I waited another 5 hours back in the ambulance again before being taken into the ward. And I was in absolute agony all that time. And I was sure I was going to die. And what can you say? I mean, if God didn't intervene for me, I don't think I would be here. I mean, how can you not be thankful for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amazing. Amazing. And there may be, I mean, that's a dramatic example, isn't it? But the Lord's spared you, and given you more time, and we thank him, and it causes love to burn in our hearts, doesn't it, when we realize what the Lord's done for us in a whole myriad of ways. Someone's just put in the chat there, I think it was Tim's Galaxy Tab A7. I can feel his love. How precious That is, you remember that hymn, the Wesley hymn, I feel the life his wounds impart. I feel my Saviour in my heart. And there is that, isn't there? There's that. It's not just the objective, factual truth that God loves us, but we've been brought into an intimate relationship where we sense his presence stronger at times than others. If you're anything like me, I don't always feel that, you know, immediate awareness of the Lord's presence. And I just trust him through every season. But there are times, Tim, absolutely, where we say we feel, we know we feel his love. And we love him in return. It's always in response, isn't it? Reason why I'm just asking that is because as we come to his word, I think it's so important, isn't it, to have that fresh sense of the Lord's love for us and our love for him in response. And I personally find it helpful to just be refreshed in that wonderful knowledge as we come to look at his word, so that as we come, we're open and we're vulnerable with the Lord who loves us. We're safe in his hands and he can speak to us, and we trust that we'll respond to him. Just one other thing, and then I'm going to turn us, you can maybe turn there now while I share this one other slide. It's John chapter 3 I'd like us to look into. And from verse, just we could maybe read together verse 26 through to 36. So if you just find that, if you've got your Bibles, and we'll come to that in just a moment. Oh, look at that. Brilliant. Brenda, thank you. And Karen. And Samsung. Wow, that's amazing. Look at those. I don't know if you can see chat on Zoom, but I'll just read them out. Since I found the Lord, I no longer fear death.
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is phenomenal. There are countless people, they may not realize it, but I know lots of colleagues at work and in the communities who are absolutely bound by the fear of death. And it says, doesn't it, in 1 John, that his perfect love casts out fear. That's just quite some statement. It seems to hit me even more as it's written in the chat here. Since I found the Lord, I no longer fear death. Wow. Someone actually, a few weeks ago, came up after one of our meetings and asked me to pray. And another with me to pray exactly along that line. And they were very honest and said, you know, they're the Lord's, absolutely. But they were aware the enemy was coming against them in this regard, and they were fearful of death. So we were able to pray in line with the Lord's revealed truth and trust that they've been liberated from that in a fresh way. That's powerful, that. Though I fail, and I often do, no matter what, he is changeless and loves me still. Come on, this is brilliant, isn't it? Wow. Bless the Lord for that. Thanks, Karen, for sharing it. What a blessing to know. And we need to be honest, don't we? We stumble and fall. I believe there's provision, it says, doesn't it, in the scriptures, that he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. But we have to be honest, sometimes we trip and fall, don't we? We stumble, and we bless the Lord that no matter what, he is faithful, he's changeless, he's the, as the scriptures say, the immutable one, and he loves us still. And Brenda, thanks, he has done everything for me and made me a new person, a renewed person. These are just amazing testimonies, aren't they? And it's really important for us, especially in these challenging times, to share these testimonies with each other. Really important. Sometimes we hold back, don't we? But it just doesn't need to take time, much time, does it? It doesn't need to be too sophisticated. It just needs to be the honest sharing of our heart and thanking the Lord for his goodness. So let me just share one other slide. This was just something in the week. Can everyone see that okay? I hope so. So again, this was just earlier in the week. Someone had shared an image. It wasn't this one, but it was something similar. And they said they'd just been so blessed. And it brought fresh hope to them. If you're not sure what this is, it's an aerial view of a stump of a tree, like a tree trunk that's been cut. So we're looking right down from above it. And right in the middle of that stump, you can see clearly the green shoots coming up from what on the face of it looked pretty barren. And we bless the Lord, don't we? Those testimonies absolutely corroborate this that we can see in nature. I'm just going to bring up, I don't know what verses spring to mind for you. Can you see that at the top at all? My top of the screen is covered slightly. So you remember from Job, there is hope for a tree. Hang on one sec. I can't quite, sorry, I've lost the, can everyone see that okay? Basically, it says there, for there is hope for a tree that if it's cut down, it will sprout again and that its tender shoots will not cease. And then if you read on in the next verses, it says this in the scriptures there, though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Remarkable verses there in Job. And if you remember the context, his situation was pretty challenging. And I think it's fair to say for everyone in different ways, we're living in particularly challenging times. But bless the Lord that we have testimonies like the ones you've just shared. And it means that whatever has happened today or in the recent past or over the last few years, in whatever way that has come to challenge us, our testimony this evening is, if ever I loved you, Jesus, it's now. And if that flame is burning in our hearts, well, praise the Lord, there's hope against all the maliciousness of the enemy and all that would seek to come against the Lord's plan and purpose in our lives. And he will absolutely fulfill his purposes. So let's just turn to that passage in scripture, shall we? John chapter 3, and maybe from verse 26 to 36. I just wonder, I'm all for interaction. I wonder if anyone would like to read that passage for me. I don't know where it would be best coming from, whether that's actually from Rora or someone else on Zoom would like to read the scripture for us tonight. Great stuff. We've got Rora back in the house.
Read it unless anyone else wants to.
Nice one, Anna. No, that's great.
And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Thank you, Anna. Hopefully everyone could hear that. That was very clear up here in Hoylake. Amazing technology helping us tonight. We're thankful for it, aren't we? Wonderful to read God's word together and meditate on it. Shall we just pray? And then I'd like to just draw out three things from that passage this evening, if that's okay. Lord, we are so grateful that we're here this evening, so grateful that you've liberated us, you've saved us. We've heard testimonies tonight of how you've saved us in so many ways. Lord, we've been reminded that even when we fail, stumble, Lord, your unfailing love is our rock. And we praise you, Lord, that we're safe in your hands this evening. And we thank you for this opportunity, the very fact that we have your word so available in our own language is such a blessing. People have given their lives for this privilege, and we praise your name for it. And we pray now, Lord, as we simply come to you with love burning in our hearts for you and faith in you, we pray, Lord, that you would speak your word fresh into our lives. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the middle of that short passage, verse 30, very well-known phrase, remarkable that John here makes this statement, and it's in a context of joy on his part, which is so countercultural. He is basically seeing his ministry end, in a sense, and everyone is going from him to Jesus. So there's this crossover period. And he says this in verse 30, he must increase. This is about Jesus. He must increase. I must decrease. And it's amazing that just before that, he's talked about the bridegroom, and he refers to himself as the friend of the bridegroom. And he talks about the voice of the bridegroom, which is really interesting, isn't it? Because the prophecies about John were all about the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You remember those scriptures? So there's this interesting parallel, in a sense. John was fulfilling his destiny, if you like, being the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But the voice of the one crying in the wilderness was to prepare the way for the ultimate one to come. And we've got here, the context is that folks who were following John and listening attentively to his message and being baptized by John, Jesus now, he wasn't actually baptizing, but his disciples were baptizing. And it's at the same time. And it says that very first verse that we read, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing. It's not actually him. It's because it says elsewhere Jesus didn't actually baptize, but his disciples. And they say this, and all are coming to him. And this, if you go back further, there's been a dispute over purification and there's various things going on. But there's this interesting point in the life and ministry of John and the emerging ministry of Jesus, and John, with absolute joy and full humility, is, how can I put it, seems a bit silly to say over the moon, but genuinely he is thrilled that he is decreasing and the Lord is increasing. In fact, he says there in verse 30, he must increase. It's imperative. Remarkable that Jesus talked of John as the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, and yet the least in the kingdom is greater than he. That's stunning, isn't it, to ponder. So just taking this theme, he must increase, I just wanted to draw out from this passage three things that maybe we can take away and allow the Lord to really speak into our lives. So if we just go down, first of all, to the last verse that we read, verse 36, it says there in our passage, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Okay, so this is the first thing. And when I read that, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. I don't know about you, but my response, part of my response in the context of this passage, is a prayer, really. And I want to say to the Lord, increase my faith. It says there, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Do you believe in the Son? Feel free to nod quietly behind your muted screens. We believe, don't we? Absolutely, we believe. And we've had testimonies already this evening of that faith in the one, the Christ. But our faith, our believing, is not to be something that's just a kind of historic story from of old, or from the Lord's point of view, this is not something that's to stagnate or it's just theoretical. This is a living relationship, and I believe with all my heart, and I'm talking from a place of honesty here, that I'm aware in these days, on the one hand, I feel so blessed, so full. Couldn't, in one sense, you feel like I couldn't ask for anything more. And yet at the same time, my hunger for the Lord has only increased. And with all my heart, I'm saying, oh, Lord, increase my faith. Not for the sake of it. But the whole thing about biblical faith is who it's placed in. It's not faith per se, but it's faith in Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. Spurgeon talks, he's very provocative, Spurgeon. I don't know if you read any of his stuff, but he said at one point, he said, we're not actually saved by faith. And I was like, what? He says, we're saved by Christ. It's just that faith is the means of connection with the Savior. Quite provocative, isn't it? But it's faith in Christ. It's not just faith faith in Christ, and with all my heart, when I read that, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, my response is, increase my faith, increase our faith in you, Lord. Amen. So when we read right at the start, he must increase, he must increase, linked with that thought, there's a sense in which our faith in him must increase. Our faith in Christ needs to increase. Do you see? So that we're absolutely clear, it's not anything of ourselves. Our faith is almost like our reaching out to just grasp hold of that mighty hand, to have our eyes opened further. Paul prays for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they may see. And that he was praying for believers there. Increase our faith. And maybe we could link with that thought, help our unbelief. Does that ring any bells? You may remember, and we'll come to Mark in just a moment. You may remember that story. It's in Mark chapter 9. And the Lord has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that passage? And then they come down, and then they're met with this situation, which is absolutely desperate. I don't know if you've ever found that in life. Sometimes we have these moments of great mountaintop blessing and we feel like we've just gone to heaven and we've caught a fresh glimpse of the wonder of the Lord's love and his grace, and everything is somehow clarified and in its rightful perspective. And often in this life, right on the back of that, we find ourselves faced with impossibility or some great anguish that can often just seem to appear out of nowhere. And that's exactly what was going on in Mark chapter 9. And just to cut into the story, you don't have to turn there. Feel free to read it at your own leisure later, just for the sake of time. But you remember the situation, and we cut in, and Jesus dialogues with the Father, whose heart was breaking. And Jesus asks the Father, how long has this been happening to him? So it's a father with a son, and the situation is absolutely dire. And the Father says to the Lord, it's been happening from childhood. And often he's been thrown both into the fire and into water to destroy him. And I think there it's clear from the scripture that the Father is recognizing that this is the work of an enemy of people's lives, the enemy of souls. This whole idea of the enemy as the one who comes to steal and rob and to destroy. And then this father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us. I love that appeal. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. The dear man somehow senses that the Lord with whom he's speaking is one who is compassionate. And Jesus said to him, and it's remarkable, isn't it, in light of what we're thinking about, increase our faith, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. I mean, that's quite a remarkable, challenging interchange between this heartbroken, desperate father and the Lord himself, who we know, don't we, can do anything. with God, nothing is impossible, even saving rich people. Oh, praise the Lord. If you can believe, Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. And the immediacy of the father's response with this challenge from the Lord, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. It's like this guttural from the very depths of the man. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I love that. I love that. It's not neat and tidy. It's not a doctrinal statement. It's just the raw response of a hungry, desperate man. And with all my heart, like however far on we are with the Lord, I believe there's times where he comes to us and speaks into our lives and brings a challenge that is almost like a fresh catalyst for this kind of cry to come from the very depths of us. Lord, I believe in you. Help my unbelief. Are we honest enough to recognize that we need help with areas where perhaps our faith is a bit fragile? I love the way the Lord deals with this man. I love it. And I love this man's response. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So that's the first point in keeping with our theme. He must increase. Increase our faith. Is that your prayer? It's mine. Lord, increase my faith in you. And somehow coupled with that, help our unbelief. There's lots more could be said there. I'm just aware of the time flying by. It's almost 10 past eight. Goodness me. Just one other thing. You'll remember different passages of scripture. It's phrased in different ways, but in Luke 17, the apostles say to the Lord exactly this prayer, increase our faith. And the Lord, I mean, it's just remarkable how the Lord responds. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That's a very provocative word from the Lord there. And if you think mulberry trees are a bit tricky to uproot by mustard seed faith, you know, in other passages, he takes it up a notch with mountains. The point isn't whether it's a mulberry tree or a mountain or whatever. That's not the point. The point is faith in Christ is the catalyst for miraculous saving grace, because it's Christ who's the Savior. And I don't know whether you often think of it like this, but those I can see on the screens, lovely to see you. Those I can't see, that's fine. But on Zoom here and at Rora, if we have trusted in Christ, we are people who have been raised from the dead. Mountains have been moved. Things which have been deep rooted in our lives that would cause us to head down a path to destruction have been uprooted and cast into the sea at the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. And if we're honest, if we're talking about faith, at most, our faith has been mustard seed like, in contrast to the magnificence of the Savior's power and beauty. It's all about him, isn't it? All about him. It's not about measuring our faith. He moves mountains. He uproots trees and roots of bitterness and all kinds of things that would dog us and hinder us. I love him. If ever I loved you, oh, Jesus, it's right now as we share your word together. He's here with us, you know. I know he hasn't got a like a screen here on Zoom, but he's here in every heart. And the fact that he's omnipresent, it's not just in our hearts, but he's everywhere by his Spirit. Glory to his name. And he's moving and working and seeking to do wonderful things. Yet, in all of our lives and in the lives of those we pray, impossible cases, things that seem mountainous, things that seem deep-rooted, he can pluck them up, he can remove them and cast them into the sea. And somehow, and I still don't fully understand, but somehow he calls us into partnership with him. And in this context, it's the connection of mustard seed faith. Oh, Lord, increase our faith and help our unbelief. So coming quickly now to the second point. I think Anna did say I need to check my diary. I think there was a second date. So if we run out of time, you've got me coming back later in the month. So secondly, just read in verse 34. So we're going backwards in our passage. So we've been in verse 36. Just move back up a few verses. It says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." It's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? Wonderful scripture. So we're still thinking he must increase, okay? So this second point, my prayer, the first one was increase our faith. This second one, in light of what we've just read there, he does not give the Spirit by measure. Maybe you can go with me on this. Would you pray, increase our capacity? So the idea is that God gives the Holy Spirit. So in response to that, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how is it possible that we should contain God by the Holy Spirit? Just remarkable. You remember in 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there, but we read this amazing scripture, 2 Chronicles 6:18, but will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple? And Solomon's temple was pretty special, wasn't it? I mean, as earthly buildings go, this was a pretty special temple. How much less this temple, which I've built, can contain you? Uncontainable. Is that a word? Is it incontainable? Uncontainable? Let's not get hung up on prefixes. Basically, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple? That was Solomon's temple in all its earthly glory. We're sitting here. We know in the new covenant, we are called the temple of the living God. How? So our prayer maybe could be, oh, Lord, increase our capacity for you. Amen to that. Remember, he must increase we must decrease, but there's a sense in which now in the new covenant, he has clearly spoken that his intention is to dwell in us. And isn't it wonderful, in Psalm 119, we hear the psalmist say, I will run the course of your commandments and you shall enlarge my heart. Did you know that your heart, in biblical sense of the word, has great capacity for God? And your heart, in the biblical sense of the word, can be enlarged. I'm not talking about your aortic pump now. Let's not get worried about that. Don't be calling the doctor at this point. I know we've had remarkable testimonies along this line of how the Lord saved us physically. Bless the Lord for it. I'm talking about the biblical sense of the heart. Out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Yeah, that heart. We have been designed and created by God Almighty. And in his wisdom and great love, he has given us capacity to know him. And our heart, according to Psalm 119, has the capacity to be enlarged. Wesley again. Who loves Wesley? I do. Listen to this. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. Isn't that a wonderful line? I'll say it again. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. What a prayer that is to pray. Increase our capacity. He must increase, friends. Increase our capacity for you, O Lord, so that you can be large in our lives, seen clearly. Just to conclude this point, I know it's fairly brief. Maybe you don't think it is. Sorry if you feel it's dragging. I'm loving this, by the way. 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure, this life, this Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in what? In earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Clay vessels with hearts that can be enlarged, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He must increase. Increase our capacity, Lord. Therefore, it says again further down in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward is perishing, yet the inward is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. Isn't that a relief? But the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to his name. You know, this isn't about natural physical capacities, my friends. In fact, as our natural physical capacities begin to fail, it says in the scriptures that the light, this light of the righteous, burns brighter and brighter. We're not fading away, my friends. We're being enlarged. I had such a striking example with this. You probably know that my dear dad is now with the Lord, and I witnessed him in the last week of his life physically fading away before our eyes. It was heartbreaking, hard to let him go. But it was so powerful to realize that this scripture was being fulfilled, that even as his outward man perished, yet the inward man was being renewed. And he, glory, glory to Jesus, he got seriously promoted. from what, from an earthly point of view, seemed to just be a fading away. But from the eternal point of view, this was from glory to glory. And he had a prayer along this line, "Oh Lord, increase my capacity." I think he struggled towards the end as his natural capacities were failing. But the Lord, I'm absolutely convinced, answered that prayer of my dad's and enlarged his capacity. And now he's unhindered. Do you see this? This is so precious. Should give us hope, especially as we face difficulties and illness and various trials of this earthly life. Glory to his name. We're not fading away, my friends. We're burning brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Increase our capacity, spiritual capacity for God. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. And then finally, we're coming into land shortly, friends. Okay, just keep your seatbelts on for a few more moments. This is the third and final thing I wanted us just to ponder. In verse 27, so we're moving up a little bit again, backwards in the passage. So after that first verse we'd read, it says, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven." That's a really powerful statement, that, isn't it? A man can receive nothing unless it's given him from heaven. And this is the third point here. It's not so much a prayer as a statement of wonderful fact. And here it is. He must increase. And here it is, the third bit. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Without him, we can do nothing. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven." Elsewhere in the scripture, it says, "A man can do nothing." Isn't that wonderful, actually? If we're prideful, it's not the best thing to hear. We can do nothing. I think of some of my friends in work. I mean, if I was to say, you know what, without the Lord, you can do nothing. If I just hit them with that one day with no introduction, they'd probably poke me in the eye. We think we can do an awful lot. But the revelation of scripture is without him, we can do nothing. It's God who gives the increase. You remember in Corinthians, I'll just quote some verses quickly. "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one, I planted," said Paul, "Apollos watered, but," and this is the big crescendo point, "God gives the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Isn't that wonderful to be reminded and refreshed in this great truth? We're encouraged, aren't we, in Colossians, to hold fast to the head, that is Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. God gives the increase. We can do nothing of ourselves. So couple those, well, not couple, it's three, isn't it? Sorry, wrong phrase. Bring those three things together. That first prayer, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Is that your prayer tonight? Help our unbelief. It's our faith in Christ. Increase our capacity, Lord. This treasure is in earthen vessels. So this is capacity. So it's faith in Christ, and now it's capacity for Christ. And then thirdly, that fact, for it's God who gives the increase. Without him, we can do nothing. Sobering and thrilling at the same time. Wonderful, wonderful. Sometimes I feel like I want to have it all together, all nicely sewn up. And, you know, I'm 50 now, so I'm kind of naturally I'm thinking anything for a peaceful life. Just give me my slippers and my armchair, the dog at my feet, happy days. And then the Lord comes and challenges my heart. Now, I still enjoy my armchair, believe you and me. But as I'm sitting there, there's a fresh fire burning in my heart with love for Jesus. And I'm praying fresh tonight as ever. Oh, Lord, increase my faith in you. Somehow I want to reach out and lay hold of you like I've never done before. Do you understand me? I'm not belittling or putting down anything that's happened in the past. In any of our stories, we praise the Lord for all that's passed. Absolutely. But there's a sense in which this first love needs to be burning strong in our hearts tonight. And we reach out to him and lay hold of him again, fresh now, tonight. Oh, Lord, increase our faith in you. And coupled with that, increase our capacity for you. Fill us again, Lord, to overflowing. Heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this clay pot, as my dad used to say. That was his translation of that passage in Corinthians. This clay pot, shine through us, Lord. You must increase. And then finally, we're blessed to be reminded that it's God who gives the increase. We all have a part to play somehow in his wonderful economy of grace. He calls us to co-work with him, but ultimately, at the end of the day, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord gives the increase, all of our planting and watering will be of no avail. We are utterly dependent on God. And if we come to him like this, I believe it's his great pleasure to work fresh in all of our lives. And with all my heart with you, I'm joining with you tonight, brothers and sisters, with hunger and thirst and love for Jesus to say, oh, yes, Lord, do new things in all of us. Amen. Amen. As we close, I'm just going to share, I don't know if any of you have heard of Lilias Trotter. Hand going up. Nice one, Brenda. Love Lilias. I do. Love her. Yeah, Yvonne. Nice one. Let me just share this slide with you. It's so blessed me. So she was an artist, Lilias. And I don't know if you can make out that pencil sketch. It's wonderful mountains. And then there's a lake with a sailing boat on the lake. And I'm just going to pop up something from her journals. And maybe it will help us as we come to a close. She said this from her journaling in her diary. This is 1902, a little while back. I am seeing more and more that we begin to learn what it is to walk by faith, increase our faith, we've prayed, haven't we? When we learn to spread out all that is against us, all our physical weakness, loss of mental power, spiritual inability, all that is against us inwardly and outwardly, as sails to the wind, and expect them to be vehicles for the power of Christ to rest upon us. Go on, Lilias. That's brilliant, isn't it? It is so simple and self-evident, but so long in the learning. So as we close, are we willing, as part of our response, to spread out, in a sense, all of the things that we might feel would be against us? as Lilia says, as sails to the wind. We just bring ourselves as we are, our vulnerabilities, our weakness, our disappointments, whatever it may be, we just come, we run again to Jesus, who's calling us. He's calling us to come to him, the weary ones, come. And we just spread it out. And actually, right there is the place in which he delights to manifest his power. He must increase. Oh, glory to Jesus. Do you love him? If ever I loved him, it's now with you tonight. And you know what? All the angels are looking in and going, what is going on? These redeemed people. How can it be? Look at them. Pressing on, still loving. Still got that flame burning with love for Jesus. And it's just responsive love, isn't it? He loved us first. We're just loving him back all the way home. Glory to Jesus. So I'm going to finish there. I'm sensing, you know, I could probably go on, but I'm going to stop for the sake of what's appropriate. We're done. It's 8:30. I might have gone into injury time slightly, but bless the Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Dave.
Are we okay, Rora?
Would you like to close in prayer, Dave?
Thanks. Oh, I'd love to, Malcolm.
Thanks, David.
Is that okay with everyone if I just pray to finish?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, we love you with all that we are. Lord, so aware of your presence again this evening, the relevance and power of your word. Lord, we're so aware of our need for you. And with all our hearts together, we say, Lord, increase. Increase, Lord, in us and through us for your glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. We open our lives, our hearts, our minds, all that we are. We open wide to you and respond to you and ask you, Lord, to fill us and enlarge us and increase our capacity. And in the very places, Lord, where we may have felt like it's all over, spring up afresh, oh Lord. Lord, at the very point of our weakness, be strong. Be seen, be glorified. Thank you, Lord. I just pray a blessing on my dear brothers and sisters at Rora. Lord, thank you for this privilege of being together tonight. I pray your blessing, your increase in all of their lives, Lord. Thank you that you know us completely as individuals and also together as part of your people on the earth at this time. And we just pray, Lord, for your blessing, your encouragement, your fresh hope and faith and love. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every testimony that's represented here this evening, and we give you all the glory and trust you, Lord. Thanking you for what's past, we trust you for what's to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.